Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. Let's just relax. Everything else that's going on, just let it fall by the wayside. Just be reminded that you are in Christ. You are in God. You don't need to be trying to make him happy, trying to please him, trying to deserve his love or his blessings or his presence. That was already all taken care of 2,000 years ago. Christ made you acceptable by re-spiriting you. So you are in the family. You're in the family permanently. So there's nothing to achieve. There's nothing to seek. We're only learning to live the truth of who and what we are. And as we're studying, for instance, the devil, we're finding out that this is one of the areas we are gullible and we believe lies. We believe that, you know, we can backslide, we can commit the unforgivable sin, that, you know, God is all about judgment, and he is. But you've already been judged 2,000 years ago. The judgment all fell on Jesus, on Christ. And so it's not on you anymore. Now, it's not about whether you're a sinner or a saint. It's, are you alive or dead spiritually? And if you've been born again, you're alive spiritually, period. You're in the family. You are a joint heir with Christ, a co-inheritor of everything that Christ inherited. Everything he's inherited is yours as well. Why don't we experience it? Again, we believe lies. We have wounds. And there's a change in lifestyle that has to occur. God's fully aware of that. This is part of his purpose and plan, that it's through the process of overcoming in these areas and experiencing God's restoration of our soul. It's through that process that there's character that is desirous, that he wants, that God wants, appreciation, gratitude, fortitude, even, you know, some of the negative experiences we have, regret. You know, what it feels like to make a mistake, to disappoint others. These are all values that God wants us to experience, that gives us compassion and empathy, the compassion and empathy that he himself has. These are characteristics and experiences that Adam and Eve did not have in the garden. Their life was perfect. They had all their needs met. God told them what to do, and they did it. And God basically had to trick them in order to get them into the position where he could form and create to get the results that he was looking for in this creative aspect of the world. And we don't know what his end goal is. We don't know what it will look like when this is all done. Because right now, we're in the middle of it. And so often it seems chaotic. And so often it seems like things are out of control. And this is what we just want to remind ourselves, that God is either sovereign or he's not God. And when we start talking about the supernatural, God created the supernatural realm. In other words, the environment, the level above natural state. And he created and creates all beings in that supernatural realm, as well as in the natural realm. They all come from him. And anything he creates, which is everything, he himself has control over. So why is that important? Why do we have to remind ourselves over and over again that God is in control? Because when we encounter these supernatural beings, whether we think of them as positive or negative, good or bad, you know, holy or evil, they are all encountering us under the direction of God. Sometimes we can say his permission, sometimes we can say his direction. It's all the same. And so this comes into, do we trust that God loves us? Or do we think that God allows the devil to provoke us, to tempt us, to lie to us, to deceive us, because he wants us to fail, because God wants us to fail? Or is it because God wants us to overcome, to learn to have confidence in our own hearing, our own abilities, our own power and authority, but also have confidence in God's love for us? So he lets everything we believe be tested by real life experiences. And he sees, okay, how do you respond to this? And very often our response reveals those unhealed wounds, those lies that we believe, the doctrines that we hold because we've inherited them and not because they come from the living word of God. And then God says, okay, I'm going to heal that wound. I'm going to speak truth to you. He counters and corrects. So it serves his perfect purpose that we go through these experiences. Likewise, when we encounter angels, do we have any confidence that we can tell them apart? You know, the devil comes as an angel of light. And likewise, an angel can appear in any form they want. And there's a spectrum of creation between what we consider evil and what we consider good. You know, angels and demons, there's all these creatures in between. What's important to remember is that God controls and directs and instructs all of them. They do his bidding. I always go back to the verse in, I think it's 2 Kings, where God wants to have one of the kings of Israel fall in battle. And the only way he can do it is if the king believes that God wants him to go to battle. So he calls all his servants, all the angels and all the demons in front of him. And he says, this is what I want to do. What are your suggestions? And one of them says this, and another says that. And a demon steps up and says, I know what we can do. I will be a lying voice in his prophets. And I will tell him that it is your will that he go up to battle. And then he will fall in battle. And God says, that's a good idea. Go and do it. So God sent a demon to be a liar in the words of the prophet of the king of Israel, so that he would fall in judgment. Now, God's not wanting us to fall in judgment, because that judgment has already been taken care of. But God's judgment also falls on our behavior. And he wants us to learn good judgment. We get this idea, oh, don't judge me. No, nobody can judge me. Only God can judge me. Guess what? God is a spirit being. You and I are spirit beings. We are to learn how to judge wisely. That's what wisdom is all about. You know, seek wisdom. Respect wisdom. That's all part of judgment, knowing what's going on in the situation, what's going on in people's hearts. And then having the wisdom to go, okay, now, God, what is really going on? Because if we judge so many of the circumstances we see by our own eyes, by our own emotions, by our own doctrines, our own beliefs, we're going to miss it. We're going to come up short. So this always goes back to spending time with him. Is he teaching us what he wants us to know? And what's important to him may not be important to us. We may be in the middle of a flood, and God is teaching us about patience. We're like, God, we're in the middle of a flood. You know, I'm going to die here. He's like, patience. And on the other hand, you know, there's that old story about, you know, that we can get so, you know, reliant on God's, you know, specific way of that we have an expectation that God's going to save us a certain way. And we're in the middle of the flood, and we hear the warning signs that the flood's coming, and we, you know, wait in our house, you know, God will take care of me, God will save me. And so we don't leave, everybody else leaves, and the flood waters start to rise. And a guy, our neighbor, comes along in a boat and says, come on, get in the boat, we'll, you know, we'll go to safety. And we say, no, God's going to save me. And somebody else comes along and says, you know, come on, we'll take you to safety. And he says, no, God's going to save me. And the helicopter comes along, and we're up on the roof by then. And the helicopter says, you know, grab a hold of the ladder, we'll pull you up, we'll take you to safety. And he says, no, God's going to save me. And finally, the floodwaters rise, and he drowns. And he ends up, you know, at the pearly gates and before God. And he says, God, I thought you'd save me. And he said, I tried. I sent you your neighbor. I sent you a warning. I sent you your neighbor. I sent you a helicopter. And you refused them all. We don't always recognize God's work in our lives because of our beliefs, because of our wounds, because of our own expectations. And those are the things that he's working on. So the more we can be objective and not get emotionally involved and, you know, physically entangled and financially and relationally entangled, where we're so entangled we can't free ourselves. This is always before about debt and about relational debt and about, who, for instance, who controls your health, your finances, your relationships. When, you know, this is when, that's one of the areas where, for instance, a church or a church group or a religious group can go over from serving God to becoming a cult, is where you no longer have a say about what God is saying to you, about how to live your life. When somebody else starts to control your finances or your relationship, telling you, okay, how to treat one another, how to, you know, treat your family, how to raise your kids, that's crossing the line. You know, that you know, all the money belongs to them. You know, how you spend your time, how you, you know, speak to one another. These kinds of things, those are crossing the line. And if we get so caught up in, you know, there's this blindness, and we all have that to some degree in some area of our life. This is part of our other, whether it's good or bad, a commonality. We aren't all that complicated. Us humans, you know, that we, whether we've been born again or not, we're not that complicated. We have certain needs and desires, and the devil has been around, and our other enemies have been around long enough to know how to manipulate and how to push our buttons. And our goal, really, it isn't to prevent our buttons from being pushed. Our goal is not to avoid the devil. It's to not have buttons that react. Doesn't matter how many times he pushes that anger button, we don't react. Because God has healed us. Now there may be times when there's a righteous anger, but that will come from the spirit into the soul and through the body. It will not come because the button's being pushed. And just even something, you know, what we just talked about, patience. There's a difference between patience and not wanting to act, not wanting to get involved. And that patience is a fruit. It's an outcome of being one with God. So that even it doesn't matter whether we want to get involved or not. Because as a spirit, if God says, go raise that person, go raise the dead, go speak to that person, go change the world, or go pass the salt, we'll do it. And it's not because we are wanting to, it's not because we're concerned about pleasing him. It's not because we're concerned about the results for ourselves, but that we understand objectively that this is all part of the process. So the more we can accept that every experience we have in the supernatural realm is orchestrated by God. Experience you have in the natural realm is orchestrated by God. Now, this can overturn and really, you know, knock up against some of our doctrines. You know, the whole, you know, God just wound up time, wound up the earth and let it go, and he's just, you know, looking over to see what happens. But that doesn't line up with his reality. What is his nature? God's true nature is love, and he expresses that love through giving. And he makes us able to receive unconditionally what he's giving us unconditionally. Right now, we're not able to accept who he is right now, other than in our spirit. So there's a conspiracy between God and our spirit and our soul. Your soul knows the voice of your spirit. Your soul appreciates and values your spirit and wants to return to your spirit. So as you are more and more conformed through God's action on your life, each of our paths is distinct and different, and yet there are commonalities. So somebody can come along and say, let me just encourage you, this too shall pass. I've been this way before. It's not as bad as you think. You'll get through it. Just be patient, let God do his work, don't fight against it, and don't think you know what he's doing. And very often, that's our fastest way through something, is to just accept that we really don't know what he's doing. And that's a blessing from God, because we would interfere, we would try to help. But for our purposes, as far as overcoming our concerns about the encounters we're going to have with the devil, with the angels, with all the critters in between, it's just really important to understand that there are laws that govern the natural realm. There are laws that govern the supernatural realm. And the laws of the spirit realm is God. And you and I, spirit beings, we are the only spirit beings that abide in that law. We are the power and authority in that realm. And because we are spirit, we already fulfill all that law. Our problem is not spiritual laws, it's the supernatural power and authority in the laws. But everything in the natural realm is subjected to the natural laws. For instance, gravity. Gravity is a natural law. Everything on this earth in nature is affected by gravity. Now, birds use gravity, and they can fly. But the gravity is there nonetheless. Living creatures here on this earth need oxygen. We breathe. We are subjected to the sun and the light and the tides. There's things that, and the rain and time, and things that go on in the natural realm. All creatures, all natural creatures that exist in the natural realm are affected and under the authority of the laws of the natural realm. They respond different and are affected differently, but they are all under the natural laws. Likewise, in the supernatural realm. The devil himself and all his little demons. And again, you know, we just consider them bacteria. We respect them, we understand them, but they're living beings. And they're here, God created them and put them here for a purpose. And we're going to encounter them. But there's nothing to be afraid of as far as there's nothing to avoid. Because the devil follows the supernatural laws and is under spiritual authority. And part of their presence in our lives is to teach us how to exercise our spiritual authority, to see into the supernatural realm, to speak into the supernatural realm, to exercise power and authority. Because demons are created supernatural beings, they dwell in the supernatural realm as well as they can affect the natural realm. But they are restricted by the laws and the boundaries that govern the supernatural plane. For instance, we have a solical realm within the supernatural realm. And I think there are restrictions on what can happen to your soul in the solical realm by those that dwell in the supernatural realm, in, for instance, the demonic or the angelic, or the ghosts or the aliens or whatever other creatures there might be out there. So there are barriers and gates in between the different realms in the supernatural realm. Now, as spirit beings, we have keys to all the gates. We have power and authority over all the gates. There are no gates for you and I, spiritually. But these are for both protection for our soul, but also support for our soul, so we don't get ahead of God. So we can trust. Part of the process is to learn to trust him. So again, the demonic is restricted by the laws and boundaries that govern the supernatural plane, as is also true for angelic supernatural beings. Both angels and demons are under the authority of the spiritual realm. So anyone wielding spiritual authority, God, which is, you know, how we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and regenerated humans, Christians, God and us, we have legal authority over both supernatural and natural beings. Because saints rarely experience significant healing and freedom in their lives, they also rarely experience the responsibility, power, and authority that comes with being a co-inheritor and son of the king. So many people, and I think we could put all ourselves in this, so many of us, we want the power and authority to do things, to do miracles, to heal people, to, you know, right the wrongs, to change the world, to help people see who God is, to be able to receive his love, all these different things. We want what God wants us to want. He gave us these desires in our hearts, and we want them. But so often we don't want the responsibility and the accountability that comes with learning, not doing, but learning to become a single being, spirit, soul, and body. And that's what it's about. It's not about our behavior, doing the right thing, knowing the right thing. It's about having what's important to become one, spirit, soul, and body. And we always come back to one of the major traits that God is looking for in us, appreciation and gratitude. When you can be in the middle of an encounter that is scary or uncertain or chaotic, and you can go, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but thanks. Thanks for this. Thank you for bringing me into this situation for whatever reason. And when we do that, that really unites our spirit, soul, and body. and brings us into the place where we can receive unconditionally through our spirit what God wants for us in that time, in that moment. Again, saints, you and I, Christians, rarely experience significant healing and freedom. And therefore, they rarely experience the responsibility, power, and authority that comes with being who they are, a spirit being. So generations of Christians have been allowed to languish in the prisons of demonic oppression because those who know better do nothing. Because there are people all over this world who know, okay, this is what it takes. And again, this is not to condemn them, because this is all part of God's purpose too. But we have to understand, when we do encounter someone who is followed by signs and wonders, for instance, you and I, have the responsibility to have developed good judgment, to be able to know, okay, they're one in this area. Are they one in this area? So yes, let's say they can raise the dead, but they also say that, you know, that if you don't follow him, you're going to hell. We need to be able to discern, have developed good judgment through our process. And when we aren't accepting responsibility, when we're putting off till tomorrow what God wants to do in our lives today, it's not just for us. And again, this is all under God's control, but you and I, part of our purpose is to learn how to control time, to redeem it. And I believe at some point in time, whether it's, you know, while any of us are here on this earth or 1,000 years from now, we are, all spirit beings, all Christians, will redeem time, past, present, and future. Because there's only one time. There's only now. There's only present tense. The eternal life is not more time. It's a state of being above time. And the more we live and dwell in above time, the more we see what's going on here on this earth along the timeline, past, present, and future, as something we have power and authority over. And that's where we can get into undoing generational curses, preventing war, changing the course of history. Now, I have no idea what that would look like or how or exactly what the purpose of that would be. But we do know that God is all in all, and his redemption is all in all. And if his redemption is all in all, it's not just for the people. It's for the earth. It's for history. It's for the universe. It's for all the animals. It's absolute. And again, if, you know, once everything is all one in Christ, in God, what would that look like? Would we recognize our planet as Earth, as the universe? Or would it be so filled with the presence of God that everything would just be God? We don't know. But we can be challenged to look outside of our own beliefs and be drawn. And that's why I share these, not to say we're responsible for other people's experiences. Absolutely not. But we do recognize that so many people who have achieved some level or have been gifted some level of expression in the supernatural realm make it out as though it is special and only for them or only for certain people. And so denying the freedom and the power and the healing and the regeneration because you're not special. You've not paid the price. God, you know, you're not special to God. And let me just say, God is no respecter of persons. He has, If he has redeemed you, re-spirited you, you have everything you need for life and godliness right now. You are in the kingdom. Everything that Jesus did, you can do. Now, he had a specific purpose here on this earth, and it was a one-person thing, and he did it. He paid the price. He was the Savior, and he was crucified and resurrected. That's a one-time thing, thank God. But you and I now are part of that and are participating. We participated in the crucifixion. We participated in the resurrection. We were participating in the ascension. Now what are we doing? We're receiving here on this earth what he's giving unconditionally, and we're just saying thanks. So be encouraged and just be spending time according to the plan and just letting God draw you to the area that he wants you to be learning about, because God has something special for each one of us. So feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Feedback or questions are fine. I'm always glad to hear from you. Or through Facebook, where you can also through Blog Talk Radio here. On the website, there's contact form, and you can also contact me at diane@therainersclub.org. Otherwise, we'll be getting back together again the same time next week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.